All right, if y'all will, join me in prayer, please.
Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us and sent your Son to die for us. And by putting our faith and trust in what he did at Calvary, we do have eternal life, and we have the assurance of that and the sealing of your Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And Father, we pray for these people that we talked about and those that are sick. We ask you to be with them. Comfort these people, Lord, as only you can. And Father, we ask you this morning to teach us your word by your Spirit, to build us up in the faith, and let us not be concerned about the things we can't understand, but let us simply believe you mean what you say. And Father, we ask you this morning, most of all, to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Okay, Romans chapter 9. And y'all pray for my voice. I started having sinus trouble yesterday, and I'm still hanging in there this morning with the same thing. So y'all bear with me this morning. Romans 9, verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness, continuous sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. And before I go too far here, that this wish that Paul said that he could be accursed from Christ, he cannot be accursed from Christ. Once you're baptized into the body of Christ, you can't be accursed by God. God has blessed him. God has blessed the believer that believes in the death of Christ, and he cannot curse him. So he's talking about his people, verse 4. His kinsmen, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Well, now, if I start going through this thing, go to verse 4 here. Who are Israelites? Go to Philippians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, he's talking about his brethren. What about his brethren? Well, they're Israelites. So let's check out Paul's credentials on this fact of his brethren and him. Verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he may trust in the flesh, I am more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. And otherwise, circumcision here is the order in Leviticus and other places, 8 days. After a male child is born, circumcision. And listen to me. Anybody, according to what Paul said in Galatians, is circumcised, is debtor to do the whole law. You understand? Now, Paul said he was circumcised, so he was a debtor to do the whole law. Okay? Now, of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the 12 tribes, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm not going to read very much of this here, but go to verse 20, 21. Let's go to verse 21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whensoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also.
Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes more above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. In other words, he goes on to talk about these Jews. Now, go back to Romans chapter 9. Verse 2. That I have great heaviness and continuous sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Well, I know that Paul was a Hebrew. Hebrews, he was an Israelite, and he was a law-abiding Jew. You understand? Now, some things are changing. Now, these Israelites, verse 4, to whom pertaineth the adoption? Well, who was the adoption given to? Was it given to the Gentiles? It's given to the Hebrews. Listen, beloved, in the verse 3 there, this brethren, go to chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, verse 5. Even so then at this present time there's a remnant. Remnant of who? Gentiles? No, of Israel. In other words, when Paul wrote the first 6 epistles that he wrote to the church, the body of Christ, he wrote 6 epistles. And he wrote those to Jews and Gentiles that are in the covenants of promise. You understand? It's very clear in your scripture. Now, in chapter 11, verse 5, even so then at this present time, written in Acts 20, part of those first 6 epistles, they are in the covenants of promise. They are allied with Israel. Jesus Christ came to who?
His own.
Romans chapter 9, pertaining to the flesh, who did he come to? Israel. In other words, he's promised back here in the Old Testament. Listen, we're in a time today that people think when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, he was sent to Gentiles such as us, and he was not. When you go to John chapter 1, he came to his own, and that ain't got a flipping thing to do with Gentiles in the book of John. Now listen, how many times, now some of y'all better know this, and if you do it, please tell me, because I hope I ain't spinning my wheels in vain. How many times is the word Gentile used in the book of John? 2 times, thank you. Do y'all know where it's at? John chapter 7. He said, Jesus Christ said, you can turn that and look if you want to. He said that he's going away and said, where I go, you can't come. And in their minds, they said, is he going to go over to the dispersed and teach the Gentiles? Beloved, he was not sent to Gentiles. Jesus Christ, as a babe, was sent to Israel. Go to Luke chapter 2. Hold up Romans. Go to Luke chapter 2. In the context of Luke chapter 2 is about the birth of Jesus Christ. And verse 5, David and his wife and all of his family from the seed of David went to the city of David, which is Bethlehem, to be taxed. Verse 6, let's start in verse 6. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she, this is Mary, should be delivered. And she brought forth her son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Y'all better listen to me now. Don't let me do that. She brought forth what? Her firstborn child. Is any of you ladies in here had more than one child? Well, was both of them firstborn? You ain't got any twins, have you? Even twins, there's one of them firstborn. They didn't both come at the same time, did they? Mary had other children. Catholics don't believe that. Catholics teach that Mary is in heaven and she is still a virgin today. Well, she ain't. They make idols to her, bow down to her, and worship her. Don't tell me they don't. I know they do.
That's right.
They do. Don't they, Joseph?
I wonder what they do with the...
Sir?
I wonder what they do with the area in the Bible where it speaks that she offered two turtle doves for her sins after she delivered.
Yeah, I know. They just sweep that under the rug.
Yeah,
they don't
fool with it. The spirits came out of her. And
well, I don't know about now, but not so much now, but years ago, they used to tell the Catholics, don't worry about studying your Bible. You can't understand it nohow. They didn't encourage you to study, did they?
I think that must still be pretty common because my boss is Catholic and they slipped up and made the comment one day that they don't really read the Bible.
Yeah. Ain't that dangerous?
Yes.
Yeah, you're a loud man.
Do y'all know? Y'all know what the context of Acts 17 is about?
Yeah, Berea.
Paul was in Thessalonica, and he went to Berea, and then the Bible says they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and you know why? They were better than they were. Oh, they wasn't as bad of sinners. You know, I'm not as bad as he gets drunk, beats his wife, walks on the grass, kicks a cat. I don't do all that. I ain't as bad as he. No, you know why they were more noble than those in Thessalonica? They searched the scriptures daily whether those things that Paul said were so. Do you search the scriptures daily to whether I'm telling you the truth or not? You're supposed to. Don't let me sit here and leave out firstborn. That's one of the most important parts in that verse right there. Look at it again.
Verse,
ma'am.
I was never introduced to a Bible until I met David.
Wow. Praise the Lord for that.
Just the rosary.
Regardless of how bad he... I mean, I'm sorry, David.
I had to pray the rosary over and over again.
Yeah.
For many
That's
years.
Awesome.
I never heard a preacher say he was sorry till I met you.
Well, I am. You mean sorry for saying something or just plumb dang sorry? I'm just plumb dang sorry.
Being honest, ain't
it? But you see, I thank God that I'm sorry. You know why? According to Romans chapter 5, God came to save sorry people.
Amen.
His enemies. Ungodly sinners. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and she, which is a reference to Mary, brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. Well, beloved, in the wintertime, shepherds had brought their stock into the house, so Jesus Christ wasn't born December 25th. If you check, I got some brochures over there about when he was born, and you can go back and study the course of Abihu when Jesus Christ was 6 months younger than John the Baptist. You can figure out when John the Baptist was born, and you can figure out Jesus Christ was born sometime in the end gathering in September, the last part of September, maybe the first part of October. I wouldn't argue the point, but it's in the end gathering. Listen, they wouldn't tax people when they ain't got nothing. Do you know they're trying to overtax the rich now to give to us poor? I hope that goes through because I need some money. Ain't that something? them rich folks got too much money, so we're going to take it away from them and give it to these poor folks. Everybody going to be equal. No, it will never happen. Now back to this. Verse 8. They were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they, do you know who the them and the they is? It's the shepherds' angel. Now this is important. They were so afraid, and the angel said unto them, the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you,
to shepherds, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory be to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angel was gone away from them, the shepherds, into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go even to now into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Did you read anywhere or hear me read anywhere in Luke chapter 2 about any wise men?
No.
You know why?
3 years later.
The wise men weren't there. Do you know who sent these wise men out?
Herod.
Who sent them shepherds over there to find the Lord? The angel of the Lord did, beloved. Now, you see, when you go to these, and that just touches my heart, go to these live nativity scenes, or even these dead ones, or plastic ones, or cardboard ones, what do you got? You got the wise men there and the shepherds. That ain't so. Now, I'm going to prove to you, if you believe this book this morning, there's a conspiracy going on in the land today, and it's led by the spirit of Satan, not by the spirit of God. Truth is truth and lie is lie.
Amen.
And there ain't no in between. Truth is truth and lie is lie. Now, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. Now, come to verse 5. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you'll find this in the book of Michael, chapter 5, art thou the least in the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule all people of the world. No, going to rule who? My people Israel. To whom? Romans chapter 9, beloved. Paul's trying to clear this thing up for us. To whom pertaineth the flesh, Christ came. In other words, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he did not come to Gentiles. He came to his own people, which are Israelites. Paul said, I am an Israelite also. Did he come to Paul?
Yes.
Well, let me ask you a question. Could Paul, after Acts chapter 8, could Paul be saved by repenting and being baptized, asking Jesus to come into his heart and be the Lord of his life? And if you prayed that prayer with me this morning, I'm sorry, Joe Osteen. He said, if you prayed that prayer this morning, then I know that you are born again. Lord, help us if this is what we get. What I'm looking out yonder, if this is all we get, you're born again, Lord, help us. We're an ugly bunch of folks.
Short
change. All right, let's read on here in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, not the baby. You understand? Now, I'm going to show you how old Jesus possibly was at this time. Now, he's asked the time when you saw this thing.
And you know, they didn't have these rockets and jets like we got and go from here to yon in just a few minutes, you know. They was most of the time walking or riding donkeys and asses or camels or something like that. And travel was slow. Now, verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem. And by the way, who sent these wise men?
Herod
did. Watch out for the Herods that send people out with the wrong gospel, led by the spirit of Satan. Find them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 if you dare to read about them. Now, verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also, which is a lie. Same as you'll find in Acts chapter 12, after Easter, he was going to go worship. No, he wasn't worshiping Easter. He was worshiping a female in heaven. Ain't got nothing to do with the bunny rabbit. But you see, you can take this book and make any kind of religion out of it you desire, and you'll get some people to follow you. I remember years ago, my mom had a Reader's Digest, and there was an article in it about this professor in some college out west that said the world was square. It wasn't round, it was flat. And they said at that time, best I remember, it was 22,000 followers that believed that man. And I got one verse. Y'all know where it's at? Isaiah is he that sitteth on the circle of the earth. Circle ain't flat, and it ain't square, it's round. Now, back to this. Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the what? Come into where? The house. They saw the young child. Were the wise men at the nativity scene? No, they were not. They were in the house. But you know what? When they left there, they didn't go back to Herod. They feared the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob more than they did the King Herod. They went another way. But you know what Herod did? Come to verse 15. And was there till the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And you'll find that in Exodus chapter 4, when God Almighty brought Israel out of bondage back here. He said, Moses going to tell Pharaoh, let my son go. You understand? A reference, if you please, to the Lord Jesus Christ. My son. Now, I want to show you something here before we leave Matthew chapter 2. Go to verse 16. Let's just read verse 16 through there a little bit. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, in other words, they had a dream not to go back to Herod, go get away from this fellow. He's not wanting to worship the Lord. He's going to try to kill him. Now watch how long that took place. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and was sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under. So this young child, Jesus could have been at least 2 years old, the time that he'd been searching for, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Now, go back to Romans chapter 11 and Romans chapter 9. So this brethren that Paul's talking about, in Romans chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, look at it. Verse 5, even so then at this present time, also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace,
then is it no more works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election according to the grace. Now, I've got a question for you. Think before you answer. Are these Romans in chapter 11, are they in the dispensation of the grace of God? Now listen, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he gave Paul a message. What was the message that he gave Paul? Romans chapter 9, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenant, and the giving of the law, and the services. Those who first trusted in Christ. Galatians chapter 3. Then if you're in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did Paul write six epistles to people that were in the covenants of promise? Who were the covenant of promises given to?
Israel.
To partake of Israel's covenant promises, what did they have to do? Alright, let's start over, all the way over again. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. Go back to Genesis chapter 12. Listen, I know what this meant to me when I finally saw it. And if there's somebody in here and you think you see it, until you really see it, you ain't going to be happy until you do see it. If you understand what I said. I don't, but maybe you do. Now, Genesis 12. God is dealing with Abram. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country from thy kindred. Now these are Israelites, Hebrews if you please. Abraham's called Abraham the Hebrew. And you'll find that in chapter 14, Abraham the Hebrew. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country from thy kindred and from thy father's house into the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Did God say he would bless these people that blessed him? Did he bless these Gentiles that he wrote to in Romans and 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Galatians? Six books. Did he bless us? Ephesians chapter 1. Did he bless us? All of us. Included these here and these here that were not in the covenants of promise. Did he bless all of us?
Yes.
Before the foundation of the world. Do you know that Dr. Peter S. Ruggman has got a book out on that, and he said that God never said anywhere that he would bless anybody before the foundation of the world? Dr. Peter S. Ruggman, Pensacola Bible Institute. Do y'all believe God blessed us before the foundation of the world?
Yes.
Go to Ephesians, whole Romans. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 4. Well, let's start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Beloved, words mean what they mean. I ain't got to change them to fit my doctrine. I have no doctrine. I'm like what Jesus Christ told them apostles back there. My doctrine is not mine, but his is sent. I believe God Almighty called me to preach the truth of the Word of God, and he told me to rightly divide it. Go back to Romans chapter 9 now. Verse 4, who are Israelites, as Paul's kindred, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Let's look at the covenants. Go to Galatians and Ephesians chapter 2. Galatians, I didn't tell you where. Go to chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we were in children, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Was Jesus Christ made under the law? Are you sure about that? How could you prove that to somebody with one or two verses? Come on now, I heard you say you believe it. If you're going to believe it and then try to share it with people, you need to know where to go, don't you? Where would you go? What would be part of keeping the law?
Circumcision.
Circumcision. Go back to Matthew. I think that's where we'll find it. Give me just a minute. Is it Matthew or Luke? Go to Luke. We're going to find this part that I need in Luke chapter 2. That's where it's at. Not Matthew 2, Luke 2. In Luke chapter 2, we've read part of it. Now, we're not going to go back and read what we just read to you. We're talking about the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, a sign of Israel. So we know we're talking about the Lord. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. In other words, that is an order of circumcision. 8 days. A child, 8 days. So he's endeavor to do the whole law. You understand? Now go back to Galatians chapter 4. Verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. Here He is, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, sent to Israel, who partake for the flesh. Christ came to Israel. He's made under the law. Verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now hold the fort. Were those who first trusted in Christ, were they grafted into Israel's tree?
Yes.
They sure were. You can't miss that, but jolly well I wasn't grafted in. You understand? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm not in the covenants of promise, and I don't give a flip who says I am. God says I ain't, so I'm going to believe God. I'm like Peter and them when they got out of jail, and leaders said, don't y'all go preaching this man's name anymore. And they said, well, whether to obey you or not or God, it's better to obey God. And what they do, they went and did what God told them to do, preach the gospel of the kingdom. So I'm going to obey God, not man. I don't give a flip what man says about it. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, go to verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Now hold it forward. Hold your train of thought right there. Did Paul say these people that he's writing to here were not in the covenants of promise? Go back, hold your place here. Go back
to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 27, this is where they try to pull the wool over your eyes. Listen to me. Let me ask you a question. If you're sitting here and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have been spiritually baptized into Christ, into His body. Are you in Christ?
Yeah.
Yes, you are. Verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ.
Right.
Have you put on Christ?
Right.
Sure about that?
Yes.
There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Are you Abraham's seed?
No.
Well, wait a minute. Are you in Christ? How did you get in Christ? By the Spirit. What did you do to get into the body of Christ? You believed the gospel that Paul preached, that Christ died for our sins.
Right.
According to the Scripture.
No,
no, no. You see? People take this right here and say, well, didn't you say you're in Christ? Well, yeah, well, I am. Well, then you're Abraham's seed and heir according to the covenant of promise. No, I ain't. Well, are you in Christ? Yeah, I am. Well, don't the two go together? It does for those who it's written to. You understand? Go to chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Hold Ephesians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made us free. What did He make me free from? The law of sin and death. The curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3, Jesus Christ became a curse for these people. Who was the law given to?
Israel.
And those that were allied with Israel. Do you know, in the book of Leviticus and other places back here, there would be one law to the homeborn and the stranger? These strangers here were allied with Israel. They met the condition of Genesis 12, blessed the seed of Abraham, believed the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are now in the church, the body of Christ. Acts 18, the Lord appeared to Paul in the temple and told him, He gave him the dispensation of the grace of God. He did not give him the dispensation of the grace of God in Acts chapter 9. He gave him the gospel of God in Acts chapter 9, which has to do with no more law. The law has been done away with. The law was nailed to the cross. It's gone. Jesus Christ became the curse of the law for these people and also for us according to the mystery of the gospel. Anybody got a question? Anything? Got any cobwebs on this thing in your mind? Now listen, I know where I were years ago. I know where I was when I thought I saw this. When I lied about it, told the man, yeah, I see that. I had to get out of there. I had to get out of that house. But I did. The Lord, when He showed it to me, it's just as clear as if you come in a dark room and you're walking around and the wife done moved it. Don't go into Doc's house in the dark. Because she's a lady of change. She changes quite a bit. You come in the office one day and the table lobby is sitting in the front door. But you know how it is. You get up in the middle of the night and you go into the bathroom, you're feeling the walls, and all of a sudden the wife left the vacuum cleaner down there. Bam! You turn the light on and you can see every bit of that just as clear
You're not stumbling. If you don't see this thing here, Paul's epistles rightly divided, you're going to be stumbling and able to be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. You know why? They are wanting to deceive you. They want to count you in their roll. Well, we got 150 people in our class. Yeah, well, we got 5 in ours. So what? What's the size of anything got to do with anything? You see, Paul said, rightly divide the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. This is the dispensation of grace from Acts, I'm going to say 28, because Paul's still going and he's still verifying to the Jews that Christ came to them, and it was necessary to preach to them first. In Acts 13, verse 46, you'll find that. He said it was necessary to preach to you first. But now, God is sending him far hence to these Gentiles of Ephesians chapter 2 that are not in the covenants of promise. They're not allied with Israel. They have no hope, no way to get to God until Paul preached the mystery of the gospel. Not the mystery back here, which why Christ died at Calvary, but the mystery of that gospel is also he died for low-down, sorry, scum people like me, and I'm not going to say you. If you fit that pattern, you can say it for yourself. I know what I am, and I know I couldn't get there no other way without the mystery of the gospel. You know why? Now, I'll think about something. Best that we can figure, when did Israel become low Ammonite? Somewhere around AD 70, Titus and the Roman army went into Jerusalem. He burnt the place down, plowed it up, throwed all the bricks aside, everything's destroyed. So that's AD 70. Anybody in here born before AD 70? I know some of y'all's old. Alan, you wasn't born before AD 70, was you?
I don't think I was.
You feel like you was sometimes?
Yeah.
Now listen, if Israel is low ammonite, all you got to do is think. If Israel became not God's people, according to the book of Hosea, they are, according to the book of Romans chapter 11, they finally cast away, they're gone, they ain't no more. How in the name of all this decent or people from A.D. 70 until the rapture, or how are they going to bless the seed of Abraham to get into the covenants of promise? Would you please explain to me who they are and where are they at and when are we going to go to them? Paul did write to some people that were not in the covenants of promise, didn't he? Well, maybe these back here, these Gentiles back here, before they got saved, they wasn't in the covenants of promise.
No.
Were the covenants of promise still active as long as Israel was there?
Yes.
Were signs and wonders still going on as long as Israel was there?
Yes.
Did Paul in the book of Acts chapter 28, did some signs and wonders take place back there for those Jews that were there?
Yes.
It sure was. See, you can't miss these things. Just little simple things, you know. But you see, over here, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation. You know when these people were chosen? From. Yeah, I'll tell you what, dude. Let's look at it. Go to Romans chapter 16. Verse 25. Now to him that is power to establish you. Who is Paul writing to? Is Paul writing to Gentiles?
First verse.
Let's see if we're sure about that. Pull what you got there and go to Romans 11. Go take the one verse. Look at verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Is Paul the apostle to the Gentiles or is Jesus Christ?
Paul
is. Well, you see, I can't follow Jesus Christ unless I follow Paul. I have to follow Christ through Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
He said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, Paul's writing to Gentiles, ain't he? Go back to chapter 16. Verse 25. Now to him that has power to establish you. Well, who is the you? It's Gentiles. You understand? According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Where was it kept secret? Look at the next verse. But now, Acts 20, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets. When I hold you forth, did Paul write 13 epistles?
Yes.
Tribe of Benjamin, the 13th child. Paul, the 13th apostle. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Saul. Y'all know how many times the word Saul is used in the book of Acts? You know, you'd think somebody pay attention to what Paul said. Paul said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. If by any means, in Romans he said there, if by any means I may save some of them, not the nation Israel. Paul wasn't sent to save the nation Israel. Paul knew that all Israel would be saved after the tribulation over here at the second coming. Beloved, when Jesus Christ came the first time back here, he told them, well, I'll tell you what, dude, turn loose of what you got there and go to John chapter 14. And the last funeral I went to and had a part of, that they had to read it. That other preacher that was there had to do it. And ain't got nothing to do with you in this room. In John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Did Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and 3 days later arose. Spent 40 days and 40 nights with the apostles. After that, he was received up into heaven. Okay? He's gone. I go to prepare a place for you, the 12. He's talking to the 12 apostles. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Is he coming again?
Israel.
Who is he coming to the second time?
Israel,
beloved. The first and second coming has to do with Israel. Ain't got anything to do with the church, the body of Christ. The Lord is going to descend from heaven right here. Those that have trusted Christ are in the church, the body of Christ. We're going to be changed. Our vow body is going to be changed. And we're going to be caught out. And we're going to go back to where the throne room of God is. And we'll ever be with the Lord there. You understand? Then the Antichrist can be revealed. The 7-year tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble, will take place. Then the second coming, as he promised them back then, John chapter 14. It's not your promise. Now, I suspect those who first trusted in Christ, in the covenants of promise, they would have been thinking about some of these things, don't you suspect? But Paul, what did Paul tell them? But now the righteousness of God without the law. Now, go back to Romans chapter 9. We got a minute or two here. Romans chapter 9. In the middle of verse 4. And the giving of the law. Well, how did they receive the law? go to Acts chapter 7. And I suspect that Acts chapter 7 is probably a fulfillment of a passage that one more year is being fulfilled here, I suspect. We ain't got time to get into it this morning. In Luke 13, if you want to study it, the thing that's talked about a fig tree, he said, why cumbereth it the ground? He said, cut it down. And the master of the vineyard said, cut it down. He said, leave it alone until I dig and dung it one more year. And I suspect, now this is what I believe about it. I may be wrong, but I believe that this is this one more year when Stephen's preaching here. And in Acts chapter 7, verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You mean these multi-billion dollar establishments these people are building, God don't dwell in them buildings? You mean, I'm going down to the sanctuary down there. And I used to go to school with a bunch of Catholics, and every time we pass a Catholic church on the corner, you ought to study that, on the corner, they do the sign of a cross when they, something like this building here, some sort of God standing here, and it is. It's their God. All you got to do is go in there, and they got their gods all over the walls and hanging around in there that they bow down. They say, oh, we don't bow down to God. Well, what are you doing when you're bowing down there? I had a nut. I won't call his name. A lot of y'all know him. I had a nut. My wife puts up a Christmas tree every year. I don't deal with it, but she does. It don't bother me. I don't have no problem with it. But that man said, well, you're bowing down to that thing. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, when you stoop down there and take a present out from under, ain't you bowing down to him? I said, let me ask you a question. I said, do you drive a car? Oh, yeah. I said, have you ever had a flat tire? Yeah. I said, well, you get down there and bow down and change that tire, you bowing down to that car? Come on, man, don't pull that junk on me. You see, I know when Jesus Christ was born, somewhere around September, the end of September. You know what happened December the 25th? That Satan is trying to hide and people don't see it, and you can show it to them, they say, you some sort of nut. The conception. The immaculate conception, if you please, of the Lord Jesus Christ, conceived of the Holy Ghost. That which is in thee is not by, like some of your new translations say, but of the Holy Ghost. Name should be called Jesus. Now, Acts chapter 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked. Stephen's preaching to Israel. You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and the murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. In other words, they were given the law by the angels, and the angels told them that the Lord would come to his own. You understand? His own received him not, John chapter 1. But as many as received them, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You know how they become the sons of God? In resurrection over here. I'm already a child of God. You understand? I'm already a child of God because I met the conditions of what Christ did for me at Calvary. Therefore, I am baptized into the body and I'm sealed until the day of the rapture over here. I appreciate y'all being here this morning. My time's up. I hope y'all have a good week, and Lord willing,